It's the Book of the Week.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. It's Book Club Day. Welcome to the Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club. And we thought we'd just be extra confusing for you this morning because I have Nick Morrish in the studio with me. Morning, Nick.
Hello, Matt.
And I've got Steve Shepherd in the studio as well. Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Nick.
But just to be extra confusing, Steve is our author this morning. So, Nick, what can you tell me about Steve?
Oh, well, I can tell you lots about Steve that I can't put on air, but the official line is that Steve had his first book, which is called Very Important Teapot, published by Claret Press in 2019. He was apparently 66 at the time.
Hard to believe.
Though he doesn't look a day over 67. And one of his many regrets is it didn't happen when he was 26, but he spent 40 years not realising that the two keys to writing a successful novel are making it up as you go along and becoming a celebrity first, as that makes it a doddle selling it once it's written. Steve also realised that he'd inadvertently invented a completely new genre, the comedy thriller. He's had two more books, Bored to Death in the Baltics and Poor Table Manners, in the same series. But his latest book is something different, and it's called Lazy Town. Steve, tell us a little bit about Lazy Town.
Well, I'll give you the blurb, first of all, because that gives you a bit of description. So, for jobbing writer Sam Bryant, life in the quirky Oxfordshire village of Idleborough, known to all and sundry as Lazy Town, is relaxed, despite living in the unfortunately named Slaughterhouse Cottages. The most he has to concern himself with is the annual cricket grudge match with neighbours Stockford, organising the local duck race, watching Granny's Bobbins matches, and deciding which of the village's four pubs to frequent, while smiling at the antics of Lazytown's collection of weird and wonderful residents. Then, one of the pubs unexpectedly shuts, and Clem and Maeve, the landlord and his wife, disappear. Have they just gone to Benidorm on holiday, or is there something more sinister afoot? Sam sets up an action group to save the pub and teams up with recently arrived local reporter Mallory Fillery to dig deeper. Then things take a darker turn with the murder of a prominent local citizen, and soon Sam and Mallory find their own lives at risk. Exactly what is going on in the sleepy backwater of Lazy Town?
What indeed, yeah, okay, right. What inspired you to write Lazy Town in the first place?
The village of Idleborough, a.k.a. Lazy Town, is affectionately inspired by my 25 years living in a very odd village in West Oxfordshire before I moved down to Hampshire
Which you're not going to name, presumably.
I am not going to name it. The only thing that the two villages have in common is that they both have four pubs, and that's where I started from. And I mean, ex-neighbours of mine might recognise one or two references that wouldn't be obvious to anyone in the wider world, but I have to emphasise that whilst the village is inspired by the village I lived in, none of the people are. Every member of the cast of Lazy Town is completely fictional and bears absolutely no resemblance to anybody living or dead.
That clear.
So, yeah, I mean, I started writing it actually some time ago when I was still living up in Oxfordshire, because I moved down here 3.5 years ago. But it sat on the back burner for a long time, and then I dug it out again last year and updated it and revised it and edited it and did all the other things you need to do to make it a decent book. And I thought, that's a funny story, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to get it out there.
You want to tell us a little bit more about the book and about Idleborough then?
Well, yeah, I have to be a bit careful. I don't want to offend anybody who thinks they might live in Idleborough, but although as I say, nobody does. I mean, seriously, it's not a serious book, so that's the last word I should be using, probably. I mean, I guess that Idleborough is a composite of many rural communities that have their own traditions and customs. English villages are full of them. We talk about the cheese rolling in Gloucestershire and shin kicking somewhere. It goes on all over the place. It's very strange. We're a very strange country. So outsiders might think this is weird. For example, in the book, I've invented a pub game called Granny's Bobbins, especially for the book. Now, the pub game that is actually played in West Oxfordshire is called Aunt Sally. It's not played anywhere else in the country, but it's taken really seriously there, with very competitive pub leads all over West Oxfordshire. Anywhere east of Oxford, no one's heard of it. West of you know, into Gloucestershire, no, not really either. Very specific to the area. So Granny's Bobbins is a play on that. As for what the book is, well, I'm not sure, beyond the fact that it's deliberately written to be above everything else. Funny.
Well, perhaps we should stop at this point then. We'll have a little bit of music and we'll have a game of Granny's Bobbins while it plays.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, I'll teach you the rules.
Welcome back, and obviously Steve beat us at Granny's Bobbins, obviously.
Oh, yes, we didn't know the rules, did we?
That's very true.
I made them up as I went along.
Yeah. So, Steve, is this a standalone book? Is there going to be a sequel? What do you think?
Well, no, before I get on to that, I would just like to say, I was thinking about this interview yesterday, and I came up with this. I think the book is a mixture of... So Midsummer Murders meets The Vicar of Dibley, as imagined by Douglas Adams or Jasper Ford. So it's that strange, but it is very funny, and things happen, and not necessarily things you might expect to happen as well. But,
right. I've heard some bits of I can verify it is very funny.
It's got farcical elements. It's got satire in there. If you want to say it's a bit of cozy crime, by all means, go ahead. Yeah, I really don't mind. But look, as for a sequel, probably no. Although at least one person who's read it said there should be. You can sort of plant somebody else into the book and just carry on with it. But I've always considered it to be a standalone book, and certainly at the moment I've got no plans to write a book with the two main characters.
What about your comedy thriller series, your Dawson and Lucy series? Is there going to be another one of those?
Well, I very much hope so. I've been writing Dawson and Lucy 4 for quite some time now. It's on about 20,000 words or more at the moment, most of which I quite like. I've just got to get on with it, and I've been saying that for months.
Yes.
I will, now that I've got this out of the way. That's my next project.
Okay, excellent. Well, we'll look forward to that. Mm. And so where is it going to be set? The latest...
Dawson and Lucy.
Dawson and Lucy 4
is going to be... I think I'm fairly safe in saying it's going to be in the Naples area of Italy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, yes. Mm. Yes, because you've gone worldwide. You started off in Australia and Estonia.
Bored to Death in the Baltics was set in Estonia, and I actually sold it to an Estonian gentleman a month ago.
Excellent.
So there you go.
We're waiting the review then.
Absolutely.
Okay. So where can we buy Lazy Town?
Well, Lazy Town I've published myself, you're not going to find it in Waterstones or anywhere like that. You can, of course, get it on Amazon. You can get it through me, and I'm much cheaper than Amazon because I've deliberately made it like that. And I'm stevesheppardauthor.com, and Steve Shepherd is STEVESHEPPARD author.com.
PP, okay.
Get the spelling right. And that's the best way of getting it. So through my website, or you can email me or whatever.
Okay, excellent. Mm. Thank you very much, Steve.
Mm. Yeah, I think it sounds like an interesting book. I think I'm going to have to read this one as well.
Well, as I say, the overall overwhelming aim is to make it funny and entertaining, as with all my books, but this is really quite funny. There's some very weird characters in that.
It sounds right up my street, actually. Hopefully not literally, though.
No, unless you live in a strange Oxfordshire village.
Or indeed a strange village anywhere.
There are hundreds of
them.
When I lived in Lincolnshire, there was a village nearby where the locals used to chase a hat across the fields once a year for no apparent reason. So
there you go. See, the village I used to live in had a pram race every May bank holiday. They didn't call it a pram race. I'm not going to say what they did call it, because that might give things away. But, the roads shut and everything, and people spend a year building these weird contraptions just to push around the village and get drunk.
Long may these traditions survive.
Most interesting thing in my village was we had a brewery.
There we go. What else do you need?
What else do you need? Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, apart from some pubs to sell the beer
four pubs in Idleborough, and indeed the village on which it's inspired by. As I say in the book, after the war, there were 13 pubs in the village I lived in. and it was much smaller then. How did they all get the business? People must have been permanently drunk.
Also, I thought we were doing well in Horndean. I think we had five when I was there.
The oldest resident can remember when there were 13 pubs. There were six when I moved there. Mm. It dropped down to four.
I think the beer must have been weaker back in the day. Or they had a stronger constitution.
Yeah. So, you've chosen a bit of music for us.
I have chosen a bit of music for us, if you can play it.
Well, of course we can play it.
I've chosen the Village Green Preservation Society. Probably the Kinks version. There was a Kate Busby version too. But
Well, I think we can sort that out for you. Yeah.
Welcome back, and while we were listening to that, we started chatting about websites. My background's in web design, so you guys can turn the table on me a little bit.
Yeah, well, the first question I had, does an author need a website, do you think?
I would say if you've got something you want to tell people about, you probably everybody needs a website for that purpose, because it puts you in control. Not every website is about traffic either. No, because it is very much about the control and getting your message out in the way that you want. So, you know, I would look at a website more as a promotional poster or a business card or something like that. You're going to put what you want first on the front page. You tell people what you want to about you. But in terms of whether it's productive for you, that actually comes down to how much you promote it.
Yeah. I mean, it's on all my business stuff. But when I started out, until 6 years ago or more, I thought, people say I need a website. And there was a lady at the writing group in Oxfordshire I was a member of, and she did that. And she persuaded me to have all guns and whistles and several pages and all this sort of rubbish going on. And I never kept it updated. And it was ridiculously expensive. I paid her more money than I should have done. So I scrapped that eventually about 2 years ago. And I've just got a really cheap sort of standard, bog standard one now. And I do update it when I remember it. So Lazy Town came out, and I updated it this year. But and I don't get much.
To be fair, that's probably all you need. You don't need a massive site. You don't need to be doing all the selling and everything through your site yourself. Because to be honest, you're never going to be as good as that as the big companies online, like your Amazons and, you know, your Waterstones and everything. They've got it sewn up.
You can't
compete with them. But what you can do is use it as a focus for your message.
Yes, and I've had a few nice guys, just saying before we went on air, you know, I've had a nice comment recently from somebody who bought my book and loved them and emailed me direct to say so, which was lovely. Yeah. I got a talk from it about a year ago as well, coming through my the direct message on my website, you know, come and do a talk. So it does, you know, serve a purpose.
Yeah. Not and definitely put it in your about information of your book as well, because people that want to know what other books you've published, whereas previously they might have gone to a bookshop to see what else is on the shelf, now they'll go to a website.
Sure.
You know, or they'll look for your Facebook. But the thing is that things like Facebook and TikTok, and they're quite transitional, I suppose. They tend to be there, and then they shift, and then they like disappear a bit. Yeah, your website tends to be more consistent and more controlled.
Yeah. And with the website, you can get, hopefully, people to sign up for your newsletter. And
if you
write one, yes.
Well, I would say that's going to come down to how prolific you are as an author. Somebody who's only releasing one book a year or something like that is probably not going to benefit from having a mailing list. Because to be honest, by the time you've made another publication, I've got a new book coming out, you always run the risk that whoever it is you've emailed has even forgotten they signed up for the mailing list. But if you're somebody that is doing stuff on a monthly or even on a weekly basis, that something is going on, whether you're going out and doing a talk, whether you're running a course, whether you're, you know, cause it's not always about publishing book. It can be anything.
No. It's sort of like a vicious circle, though. You could put this stuff on the website, but then nobody reads it. Because you don't update the website. So I don't know, you know, what the... But it's there, and it serves a purpose. It is mentioned in Lazy Town. I've just checked.
Yep.
So there you go.
Well, that's going to come down to how often you update, because what a lot of people don't realise is things like Google put weight on how often a site's updated and how many other things link to it.
Yeah.
To see how important it is. So the more you update your site, the more productive it starts to be. You get out what you put in a way.
I understand that entirely, but I don't know. I just, it's not the top of my priority list. But it's useful, they are useful, it's there,
and it doesn't cost me much.
Yeah,
well, that's the point. Yes, I mean, I think as you mentioned earlier, I think I'm paying too much for my website for what I get out of it. So there's probably cheaper ways of doing
possibly.
It.
Possibly, I would say you can get a designer involved to get you set up on something like WordPress or Wix or that sort of thing. So you get a layout you're happy with that's got that design. Then you keep it up to date and just pay for the hosting. It's probably the best way to go with something like that.
Which is what I do now, basically.
And you only look at really having more than that if you've got a need for it and it's generating you income. Yeah. But you don't need to be selling off your website.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I think she's all becoming.
It can't say that.
Of course, now I've got two names. I'm not going to have two websites.
You've got to have one for each of your names, then.
No.
So you've made things unnecessarily complicated.
No, well, somebody's already taken Nick Morrish as a website, as a domain name. I mean, there can't be that many around, you would think.
But I think that's why a lot of people end up with, like, Nick Morrish author.
Yes. Well, that's like Steve Shepherd author.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
If you go onto AI, I'm not just an author. I think I'm a basketball player as well. I mean, you know. Steve Shepherd is a well-known national basketball player, and he's also an author, and he's also written scientific treatises, and it's all the same person, according to AI.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's great.
Well, Nick Morrish is a Monsignor of the Catholic Church. So.
Fantastic.
Well, clearly.
AI is and a he's got whole other program. we could create several programs about AI.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Thanks for coming in and chatting. We've kind of run out of time. I could sit and chat about websites for ages because, well, I'm a nerd. So I've just got time to tell you before we go that if you want information about Portsmouth Authors Collective, pop onto the Facebook page. That's the best place to get information. Go on to facebook.com, have a look for Portsmouth Authors Collective. All the information is there about upcoming events and various things going on with the book club. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to chatting to you again next week. So until then, keep writing.